Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
So tonight, we're going to be in the Gospel of John. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 8, verse 12. And it's going to be so awesome. So this series has been really cool. We're getting to go through the names of Jesus. And what a blessing each week, just to go week by week, focusing on a different name, and really just getting to pull the truth and just what that name says about Jesus's character, what we can learn from him, how we can relate to him, what his truth does in our lives. So we're really looking forward to diving further into that. But before we dive into it, I think in honor of our youth being out here again, let's put ourselves into the minds of our younger self. I'm going to need some participation here. Think about your younger self, and I'm going to ask a question for you. I'm going to need some bravery and some honesty. Can you guys promise me that real quick? Some bravery and honesty with this question. By a show of hands, when you were a kid, who was afraid of the dark? Okay. We got a couple of you. When I was young, I wasn't super, super scared, but there was definitely times where I would get up in the middle of the night. I would go, you turn on a light, and then you're ready to go back to your room. And tell me if anyone, maybe the youth, can relate to this. You turn off the light, and you make a dash for your room, because you just don't want to be in the darkness, and you dive into your bed. That was something that I definitely used to do when I was young. But imagine with me, if you will, you are in an unfamiliar room, with a helicopter going by, completely dark. The room is completely dark, so dark to where you can't even see your hands right in front of you. And your goal is to navigate that room. Walk around. You've never been in this room before. You don't know what's in there, and it's completely dark. What are some of the things you think you would be feeling? What would be going through your head? What are some of the things you think you would be feeling? I'd say you'd probably be a little confused. Maybe you'd be a little hesitant with each step, not knowing what's going to be in front of you. Maybe fearful, maybe a little worried. There's always going to be a level of uncomfortability when it comes to darkness. It's unfamiliar. It is not comfortable. But imagine now you're in that same room and a source of light comes on. Maybe you have a match. Maybe you have a flashlight. What happens then? That uncomfortability kind of goes away. There's a sense of comfort. The sense of peace, right? It reveals whatever was in that room. And maybe you're sitting here tonight. Maybe you're sitting here and thinking, my life feels like it's in a dark room. My life feels like it's surrounded by all those feelings, confusion, fear, anxiety, worry. Maybe you feel like you're trapped. Those things are all very real to me in my life right now. Maybe that's where you're at. But can I tell you, I'm so glad that you're here tonight as we get to study the names of Jesus, because we're going to learn about the source of light and a source we all need in our lives. John chapter 8, verse 12, if you're there, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for just a sweet night. Lord, to spend just out in your creation, Lord, out here on a lawn where we just get to worship you and spend some time just praising, singing praise to your name, and then just get and dive into your word, Lord, what you tell us about yourself, Lord, your names, what describes you and your character, Lord. I pray for everyone here tonight, Lord, that we just have such open hearts to hear what you want us to hear. Lord, that tonight and any time we study the Bible, it's not just words we read or words we hear said to us, but they become real and become applicable to our lives, Lord. That our relationship with you is something we don't take for granted, but we dive into and we seek after you. So Lord, tonight, just fill us all with your spirit. Lord, help us receive and just glorify you. We ask this in your name. Amen. All right, tonight I want to break down our verse into three different sections. First thing we're going to focus on is really the significance of light. Why light? Why is it impactful that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world"? So let's set the scene. Verse 20, if you look a little bit later on, it tells us that Jesus said these things when he was in the temple treasury of Jerusalem. And we know the timing of this to either be on the same day or a day right after something called the Festival of Tabernacles, which means that this location that Jesus was in when he said this statement would have been very busy, would have been very heavily trafficked. There would have been a ton of people there, and that area would have had a lot of significance to it, to what Jesus was going to say. It was going to relate very deeply and paint the picture of the truth he was conveying. In the Festival of Tabernacles, there was two great ceremonies. One of them was called the Illumination of the Temple. Now, this was a spectacular celebration in its observance when they were doing it, but also in its concept, what it meant behind it. There were four great torches that were at the center of the room. The treasury room would be filled with people. They would fill those torches with oil, and they would light it. And the flames that would come from those torches would be so great and so big, it would light the entire temple and the majority of the city of Jerusalem. And this fire represented a lot of different things, but mainly it represented the fire, the pillar of fire that led the Israelites, these people that Jesus is speaking to, their ancestors, out of the wilderness when they were in Exodus, when they were wandering for those years. It was at this time, in this place, after those had been lit, after this celebration had happened, that Jesus told and decided to tell everyone that he alone is the light of the world. In doing this, it wasn't just a light statement. It wasn't something Jesus wanted to sneak in. He was making a Messiah claim. He was saying the truth of who he is. He's saying, hey, this entire thing we just celebrated, that pillar of fire that was so pivotal for your ancestors, that you know was from God, I was then and am still today that same light that was guiding. Jesus identified himself with that light that was so often referred to in the Old Testament. Time and time again in the Old Testament, you see God referred to as light. And Jesus is identifying himself with that and every single benefit that light would give to people. Light in the Old Testament, you often see it as a guide. Jesus making this claim is saying that only he can be the true guide of our lives. Only he can be the one that guides us in the right direction. So many people, and I'm sure you've experienced this, or people maybe experience it now, they maybe just feel lost in their lives. Maybe they don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. Maybe there's some decision in front of them, a path they're trying to decide to take, or maybe something they're struggling with that they just feel lost in the middle of. I feel like I don't know what to do. I don't feel like I have guidance. Jesus is telling us that he is the ultimate guide. He wants what's best for us, and he wants to lead us in that direction. He wants to put our path straight to where he needs us and desires us to go. Proverbs 16:9, it says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. He is the one that makes our path straight. Jesus is the one that guides us into life, away from death, away from darkness, and into light. That light in the Old Testament was also referred to as a comfort, something that could give peace. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Fear can be heavy. It can weigh us down. It can feel like this thing that's just holding us back from progressing or moving forward. But Jesus says that his light can overcome any worry, any fear that we could possibly have here on earth. His light can outshine anything that we could ever possibly worry about. For Jesus to explain that he was the light of the world, it was an immensely impactful and immensely dramatic thing in the setting it was and the meaning behind it. When we think about light, when we think about everything it has done for us, guiding us, comforting us, protecting us, we can really just see how much true and how much greater that is in Jesus working in all of that and providing it for our lives. If you've walked with Jesus, if you know him, you've seen his light guide you, you've seen his light give you comfort, and you've seen his light protect you time and time again. This light that doesn't fade, a light that doesn't die out, a light that is strong, that is blinding for us. After making this claim, after really laying down the importance of who Jesus was, and who he is, he moves on to this promise that he gives us. And that's that second thing I want us to look at, this promise that we see in the middle of the verse. He says, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness." Now let's talk about darkness for a second. Can't talk about light without mentioning darkness. Scientifically, we understand darkness as what? Absence of light. Thank you. So in a biblical sense, understanding the claim that Jesus just made, saying that he is the light of the world, darkness is an absence of Jesus. That means sin, hopelessness, no sense of purpose, ultimately wicked, evil, all of that is what is surrounded when Jesus is not in the midst. In this verse, Jesus claims that if we follow him, we will not walk in that darkness. So that means our lives are going to be perfect, right? We're never going to struggle. Where sin is not going to be something we have to worry about. We just get to go home and say amen right now, right? Amen? No, that was a trick one. You weren't supposed to say amen there. We know that's not true, right? We know that's not true. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "In this world, you will have tribulation." Jesus doesn't say you may have tribulation. He says you will have tribulation. We all have darkness in our lives. We all have darkness that surrounded us, darkness in people we know. We all have sin we struggle with. And maybe there's times we feel hopeless in that. Maybe there's times we feel trapped. We feel like we're drowning in all that the world is throwing at us. And the scary part about that darkness is that darkness hides things. It makes it hard to see, makes it hard to handle and reveal what is actually going on. Think back to that example of the dark room when we put ourselves there. When trying to navigate that room, everything in that room can now become an obstacle. From the smallest little thing to the biggest thing in that room. Without light, every little thing can trip us up and it can cause us to stumble because they're so easily hidden, because we cannot see it in the light. But as the rest of John 16:33 tells us, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The promise of Jesus is that when we walk with him, his light now shines into every single aspect of our lives. Jesus promises that we won't be walking in this dark room where every single thing is tripping us up. We won't have a life that is ruled by sin and that is ultimately falling and tripping and being held down by that. Rather, we're going to be walking in light where, yes, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be trials. There's going to be hard things that happened in our life, but Jesus reveals those obstacles to us. He reveals those areas of our life where we can now get around that. We can now get through that, but only because his light is guiding us and it's showing us the way and making our path straight through those obstacles. When I run into those times in my life where darkness seems to be creeping in, well, there's areas where maybe there's just darkness surrounding, and even if I don't realize it, I can run closer to the light so he can reveal that. I can run closer to him because he desires so greatly to see our light, or see his light shine in us. In John 12, verse 46, Jesus says, "I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Jesus loves each and every one of us so incredibly much, and so much more than we can ever possibly comprehend. He chose to leave perfection. He chose to come down into this world, taking on flesh to give us a way to not drown in darkness, right? He chose to enter into the dark world. He chose to come here to live, to experience what we experience in order that his light could now shine through us. And he could give us a way to not be trapped by this darkness and not be trapped by the things of this world. But Jesus isn't only just the source of this light. This light doesn't just apply to him. He gives us this light to have. He gives us this light to shine. This is that third part I want to talk about of our verse, the second part of his promise. I'm going to read our verse again. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness." And then focus in on this last part. "But have the light of life." What does it mean? What does it mean to have the light of life. It means a lot of things. It means our light shining, but firstly, I want to mention it means growth. Having the light of life means a life that is growing. Let's think about plants. Let's go back to this dark room. If you put a plant in a dark room, is it going to grow? Is it going to thrive? Is it going to eventually bear fruit? No, right? Only when it's exposed to light do you see a plant grow. Do you see it thrive? Do you see it finally bear fruit? Likewise, the light of life causes our life to grow. It causes our life to bear fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All right, these are the things that only God's light can bring about in our lives. We can try harder and harder, try more and more every single day, trying to work on ourselves to make ourselves better, to bring these things in our life. But ultimately, our effort is going to fail because it's only Jesus's light that it brings us in us that provides growth. And I'm sure we can all look at this list and find areas of our life that we recognize maybe we're lacking. Maybe that area of my life is not as grown as it should be. But having that light of life means a process. It means God continually working in us, growing us. As I follow after him, as I follow in the areas, as I work towards his light, he is going to work in these areas that need growth. It's not going to be my own effort. It's going to be what God does for me, in me. It's going to be him providing the growth because of his light. But secondly, this light of life means being a beacon. It means being a beacon of light, of Jesus's light. When we follow Jesus, when we experience his light, we become those beacons. He makes us a beacon of light. We were up at our youth camp last month, and the speaker gave this analogy that really stuck, I feel like, with a lot of us. So this is the junior high side. We talked about it. We thought he worded it really well. We were talking about fruit, the same fruit that we just mentioned a couple minutes ago. And he said, a fruit on a tree, the tree does not bear that fruit to primarily benefit itself. The tree bears that fruit so it can nourish and benefit other people. I think we can all agree that our world is really drowning in darkness. There's darkness everywhere. You look at news, you look at social media, you just look at the world around you, you just see gnarly stuff happening more and more and more in our world. This world has a desperate need for the light of Jesus. And Jesus calls us to shine that light into the darkness. He doesn't call us to keep that light, right? He doesn't call us to hide it. A city on a hill is visible. He calls us to go into those areas and shine Jesus's light, to seek after it, to make those opportunities, to ask Jesus to guide our path, but asking him to guide our path into a place where maybe we can let his light shine into the darkness. In Ephesians 5, verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world, in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That's our call. We're all children. Once we believe in Jesus, he invites us into his family. We're a part of the kingdom of God. And that means being a child of light. That means living our life in every single aspect that we can that just shines Jesus's light. We all have an impact. We all have a circle of influence. We all have things that people see in our lives. People see the way we live. And really, we need to ask ourselves a question. Are the people around me, are they seeing the blinding light of Jesus? Are they looking at my life and seeing a life that is just full of light and full of joy of Jesus? Or are they only just seeing a flicker? Are they only seeing maybe a little bit of that light? We need our lives to be such a light that people see it and are drawn to it. A light that reflects not our own light, but Jesus's light. Because Jesus desires for every single person to experience this. He desires his light to go out between across the entire world. That's why he came down. That's why he left perfection, as we mentioned. That's why he took on humanity. He did this so he could relate to us, that we could see his light firsthand. And ultimately, so that he could give up his life for us on the cross. Right, so that we would not have to be trapped in darkness. It's his blood that was shed on the cross that washes us clean and washes away those dark patches in our life. Right, we all have areas where maybe there's a little bit of darkness that's preventing the light from shining in. But as we lean into Jesus, as we run closer to him, his light is going to be the one, his blood is going to be the thing that washes away that darkness, that gives us forgiveness, that gives us hope, gives us purpose, gives us a mission to go spread that light and tell other people. Amen? As we wrap up, I think we have one more closing song. I want to invite him up, but I want to encourage you all to maybe sit in a little bit of reflection as we go into this next song. You may be sitting here tonight and you've experienced Jesus' light. You say, I'm a follower of Jesus. I've seen his light. I've seen his light reflect in my life. And I want to continue being a beacon of light. But maybe there's areas in your life right now that are shadowed. Maybe there's areas where there's a little bit of darkness preventing Jesus' light from shining in there. Right? If that's the case, then really, I want to encourage you, as we enter into this worship, as we kind of finish the night, seek God. Pray. Right? Pray that God can reveal those areas, because as we mentioned, sometimes it's hard to recognize where maybe the darkness is in our lives. But Jesus desires so greatly for his light to just obliterate every single part of our life, to just be in every single part where we're just overflowing and shining his light. Or maybe, we kind of mentioned at the beginning, maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've never experienced this light before. Maybe a friend brought you, and you don't really know much about this Jesus. And we're talking about light, and the sun's going down, and you don't know what's going on. But maybe you're in a season of life, too, where you just feel lost. You feel confused. Maybe you feel trapped in darkness. Can I tell you that Jesus so, so greatly desires to bear those burdens for you? He so desires for a light to shine into your life that brings hope, that brings purpose, and that brings joy. There are so many people tonight, if that's you, who would love to pray for you. We have a prayer table back there. Anyone that you see this light would love to pray. But again, I just want to encourage, right? We know the source of light is Jesus. And we need to do everything we can to seek after him, to run away from darkness, to find those areas in our life that is a light switch that we run away from, right? but we run straight towards Jesus, that we allow his light to shine in our lives as we seek after him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, you are the source of light. Lord, you're the joy, you're the hope of this world. Lord, you give us purpose. You give us a mission. And Lord, I pray that everyone here tonight just really leans into your light, Lord. They let your light just shine in their lives, Lord, that every single person around us, Lord, we can be that beacon of light. Lord, there's so many people here. Lord, just imagine the impact we can have if we're just fully, fully in, just invested in your light, Lord. Lord, I ask that you just reveal areas where maybe we don't have growth or maybe there's darkness preventing it, Lord. But you're always going to continually grow us. You're always going to sanctify us and draw us closer to your righteousness. So, Lord, I pray that you just continue to put that on our heart. You continue to let us seek after you and grow in relationship to you. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.